We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Lord, we thank you that there's only one powerful name. There's only one name that is worthy and will always be worthy and will forever be worthy. And that is the name of Jesus Christ, our King. Lord, we thank you, God, that unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and unto his reign there will be no end. We thank you, God, that let your kingdom come, your will be done, my God, on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. Lord, you have come to establish your kingdom, God, and unto your reign, Lord. We acknowledge that there will be no end, God. Lord, that no one had enthroned you and no one will ever dethrone you, because you are God by yourself. You are God by yourself. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, that unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you, God, that you are this reason for the season today. Lord, we gather today because of you. Hallelujah, Lord. Until there's only you, God. Until there's only you, Lord Jesus. That all the other names will fail, my God. That all the other names will bow. That all the other names will be cast away until there's only you. Until there's only you, God. Until there's only you, Yahweh. Until there's only Jesus. Until there's only Jesus. Lord, today we say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Lord God, unto your kingdom there'll be no end. Unto your reign there'll be no end, my God. Until there's only you, oh God. Hallelujah. So Lord, we thank you, Lord. Take your place this morning. Take your place onto our hearts. Take your place, oh God, in our presence. Take your place, oh God. Lord, even as we are here, Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you are here. You are here, God, and come and have your way, Lord. Come and inhabit the praises, the worship of your people today, God. Holy Spirit, do wonderful works in our hearts. Lord, we open up our hearts, oh God, and we allow you to come in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. God is good. And all the time. Wow, it's amazing. It's amazing to see us again, especially in person, in a physical. It's just amazing. 2020 has been a year like no other. You know, and hopefully, you know, in our lifetime we'll never have a year like this again. But either way, we've learned a lot from this year, but it's amazing. It's a pleasure to have you, church. So, great. So, thank you very much to the eldership and the pastoral team of the church for just giving me an opportunity to stand here before you and to just minister to you as a son in the house. A big welcome to you here in person, and a big welcome to all of you that are watching us online. May you open up your hearts, you know, your minds, and your spirit, and let the Holy Spirit do wonderful work in you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's get on with it. I'm reading today from Luke chapter 1, verse 30-35. We are in an amazing season right now, the season of Christmas. Luke chapter 1, verse 30-35. Say amen if you're there. Amen. Come on, church. I know you're wearing your mask and still, but you know, I want to hear you. Preach with me today. the word of God says, I read, NIV version. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. I'm excited this morning. It's just amazing to see everyone, in person. So last week our senior pastor introduced us onto this topic, onto this season, the Christmas season, that a child is born. So today I just want to speak to us on the subject: the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you. Now, whether you put up your Christmas trees and decoration end of December or beginning of November and so on, see, conventional wisdom says that, that one may put up the Christmas trees and decoration and play Christmas tune after the 1st of December. But yet, some of us always want to kick back, and put up our Christmas decoration at the 1st of November and so on. You see, isn't it amazing? And yet, you see, conventional wisdom says that, after the 1st of December, put up your Christmas trees, but some of us want to kick back. A few of us still want to play the Christmas music all the way through, throughout the year. You're going to play Joy to the Lord, Hail the King, and so on and so on and so on. To the irritation of our families and friends, because when people hear you playing music, like, they're like, hey, this is the wrong season for this, type of music. Turn it off and stuff like that. And the thing is, the unfortunate thing is, right, most of us treat the Christmas story the same way we treat our Christmas music and decoration. That we box them up, right? We box them up, we put them in a special category and store them in the attic. And then for 1 or 2 months a year, we bring it out. See, when we treat the Christmas story the same way we treat our Christmas decoration, the Christmas story itself, it loses its value. It loses its value. See, Luke tells us, the book that we read from, Luke wants to remind us that, that the Christmas story in itself is very, very valuable. It's valuable to the life of the church itself. The story of Christmas cannot be separated to the life of the church. See, without this story, without the supernatural birth of Christ, there is no Christmas. There really isn't. There is no Christmas. See, the book of Luke references the Holy Spirit at least 17 times. It mentioned the Holy Spirit. See, Luke has understood that, that the Holy Spirit is extremely significant to the entire life of Jesus Christ, as well as his conception. And Luke wants to remind us of this. That's what he tells us. That, see, in the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 34 to 35, what we read from, the angel Gabriel tells Mary that, oh, Mary, you will have a son. You give birth to a child. You should call him Jesus. And Mary asks, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel replies, saying that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. You see how Luke doesn't separate the power of the Holy Spirit to the conception of Jesus himself. Now, for a virgin to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, this is something that only God can do. Amen. Only God can do this. None of us can. Now, what does this mean to us today, church? What does the Holy Spirit mean to us this Christmas? There are 3 points that I would like us to encounter today, or go through today. And the first one is that true Christmas does not fit in a box. True Christmas does not fit in the box. It doesn't. Although, although in 2020, although many of us in 2020 are seeing Christmas as a sigh of relief, as a light at the end of the tunnel from such an unforgettable year. See, to Luke, Christmas wasn't just another end of year celebration. To Luke, Christmas wasn't just about decoration and Christmas music. See, to Luke wasn't just about, decoration that we put up in our attic and then we bring it up, once a month and then put it in a pedestal and then January the 1st, pack it away. To Luke, that's not what Christmas is about. See, Luke wants to remind us that Christmas is about the power of the Holy Spirit operating in a new way. You know, it's about the power of the Holy Spirit shattering the silence that had lasted for 400 years. That's what Luke wants to remind us today. See, here we have an ordinary young girl engaged to be married, you know, preparing for her dream wedding. Amen, ladies. Amen, Mama. Thank you. You know, preparing for a dream wedding. And here she is found by an angel who says to her, Mary, you have found favor with the Lord. Mary, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Now, a few chapters before this, we were reminded last week that the angel Gabriel, who stands at the very presence of God, also appeared to a priest named Zechariah to give him the same news. So Gabriel appears to Zechariah and says, Zechariah, whilst he was serving in the Holy of Holies, whilst he was serving in the presence of God, the angel appears to him and says, Zechariah, your son or your wife and you will have a child. Now, just for background context, Zechariah and his wife were both barren. They were both well advanced in age and were barren. They had no child. Then the angel says, you will have a son. You must call him John. And then verse 18 tells us that Zechariah decides to ask the angel for a sign. He's like, okay, I hear you, Mr. Angel, but how will this happen? You know, almost like Gideon. And so, how will this happen? Give me a sign that this will happen. Give me a sign. So whereas a young girl, Mary, simply responds by saying to the angel, you know, give me clarity. You know, Zechariah, who is a priest, you know, responds by asking for a sign. Isn't it amazing that Zechariah, with all his lifetime priestly experience, you know, with all his godliness, you know, with him, you know, with all his, you know, time of going and serving a church, that he will be the one to ask for a sign. Church, what sign are you asking from the Holy Spirit this morning? In this season, what sign are you asking for? I would like to think Zechariah was asking for a sign because, see, he got too used to the stories of church. And yet, so as a result, he stopped expecting. He got too used to the story. See, have you ever been to church, you know, that, you know, you wake up on a Sunday morning, you know, it's almost like you are anticipating what the preacher man will say. So you dress up your Sunday best, and you come there, and you sit down, you cross your legs, and you're listening, you know, anticipating what the preacher will say. We were told of a story, of a little funny story a few years ago by one of our pastors who said that there was a young man who was absolutely dedicated to church. He never missed a Sunday. And when he would come to church, he would sit right there in front. Now, as the preacher would be preaching, all the young men would be, you know, standing up in joy responding. And his way of response, you know, of responding was, hey, pastor, tell them. As soon as the pastor would say something, he would say, pastor, amen, tell them. Tell them, pastor, tell them. And then one day he found himself alone in church. Now, as the pastor was preaching, he looks around him, he sees there's no one. He's like, pastor, I wish they were here. You see, we get so used to the messages that when the message is being preached, we choose to block it to our neighbors. We say, pastor, tell our neighbor, that's not for me, that's for my neighbor. No, that's not for me, that's for my best friend. Mm-hmm, he is here, but today he's not here. I wish he was here. We get so used to the message and bouncing it off to others and not relating it to ourselves. I like to think that was the reason why Zechariah asked for a sign. He got too used to church stories that he stopped expecting something special, something supernatural to happen in his life. I would like to think that Zechariah asked for a sign because he lived in a society where things were done in a specific way. I would like to think that Zechariah asked for a sign because he probably also, you know, unboxed his decorations first of Christmas and came January the 1st, he unpacked it back in the attic without ever expecting something to happen. Church, I want to remind us this morning that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the supernatural will happen. When the Holy Spirit is at work, do not try to fit him in a box. When the Holy Spirit is doing something in you, allow him to do something new into your life. Now, you may be here. You might, you know, You might even be living with a condition. You might be praying for a breakthrough for months and then yet nothing is happening. Now you are simply going through the motion. Church, I want to remind you this morning that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing the sick and those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. When the Holy Spirit is doing something into your life, do not put him in a box. Do not put him in a box. This is the season of the supernatural. In this season, the only person that can separate us from the rest of the world, the only person that can set us apart from the rest of the world is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he's doing something new. He wants to do the supernatural within your life. So don't put him in a box. Don't put him in a box. Do not box him. Number two, the second thing we can learn today is that the Holy Spirit came to give you a new song. The Holy Spirit came to give you a new song. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he gives you a new song. He does. See, for 400 years, God's people were living in complete silence. For 400 years, God's people were living in complete silence. Nothing but silence. This is the period from the last of the Old Testament's prophets to the arrival of Jesus. There was nothing but silence in the land. Within this period, see, the Jewish homeland where they were invaded, they were overtaken, you know, they were taken by different nations. They were taken, you know, they were invaded by the Babylonians, you know, by the Medes, by the Persians, by the Greeks, and then followed by the Roman Empire, 63 BC. At this point, the people of God were used and abused. The Holy of Holies itself was desecrated. Their very joy, their very pride was desecrated. They basically had nothing to live for. Nothing at all. Nothing. See, the people of God were but a shadow of their former glory. What they once knew as the promised land had become a wasteland. There was no hope for them. Nothing whatsoever. Have you ever been in a situation where you cry yourself to sleep? Where nothing seems to work, all you can do is cry yourself to sleep. Where mama or papa can't help you. Best friend can't help you. You just look up to the sky and say, God, where are you? Where are you, God? See, maybe this is a description of your year 2020. One thing after the other. One thing after the other. Situation after situation. Lockdown after lockdown. You try this, it doesn't happen. You try this, it doesn't work. You try that, nothing seems to work. And you simply cry yourself to sleep. And the only song you could sing is a song of despair. Maybe that's your 2020. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to encourage someone that your story isn't over. That the God who began the good work in you, he will see it to completion. He will finish it. Your story isn't over. It's not time to give up yet. For 400 years, there was nothing but silence and confusion in the land. 400 years. Until one day, when the Holy Spirit overshadowed two women. Now, where there hadn't been songs and poetry, there was now songs and poetry. When Jesus arrived, finally, true music was reborn. We hear Elizabeth singing a song to Mary, and she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." We hear Mary singing and saying that, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. We hear Zechariah singing and saying, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. Amen. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he brings about a new song into your heart. We hear in Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 35, there was a man called Simeon. There was a man called Simeon. Now, Simeon was a man living in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. Now, he was righteous and devout, the Bible says. Simeon was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for consolation of Israel. And The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he will not die until he sees the Lord's Messiah. And moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple when the parents had brought the child Jesus for what was recommended by the law. And what Simeon did is he took the child. Oh my goodness, I feel like preaching. God help me. You see, can we take it the way, I love the way the Southern Baptists do it sometimes. They get so excited. They jump and stuff like that. So the Word of God tells us that Simeon takes the child by the hand. He takes him by the hand. Now, remember, Simeon was promised by the Holy Spirit that you will not die until you see the Lord's salvation. The Bible says that moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple. He took the child by the hand and he praised God, singing a new song. He said, "Sovereign Lord, you have promised me. You have promised your servants." He said, "Sovereign Lord, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. You may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation." My eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have pre-prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. He sings a song. He sings a song. He sings a song. He says, "Sovereign Lord, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For your servant have seen the salvation of your people, Israel. Just as you have promised, I have seen it. A light for the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel." See, Luke uses the term, or Luke tells us that Simeon was waiting for consolation. Just go back to it, please. Luke was waiting for consolation, or Simeon was waiting for consolation of Israel. Move over, please. Back. Take us to verse 25. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for consolation of Israel." Now, the word consolation, the word used for consolation, is from the old French word, meaning, which says consolation. Consolation actually literally means the comfort received by a person after a loss or disappointment. That's what it literally means. He was waiting for consolation. Now, I want to encourage someone this morning that maybe you have lost something or someone. Maybe your 2020 has been nothing but a disappointment. One disappointment after another. Maybe your 2020 has been a cry to sleep. Maybe your 2020 has been difficult. I'm here to encourage someone that the Holy Spirit wants to give you a new song this festival season. The Holy Spirit wants to write a new song in your heart. The Holy Spirit wants to write a new song into your heart this festival season. A song that will come from within. This Christmas, church, I want to encourage you, do not just unpack your Christmas boxes. Do not just unpack your Christmas decoration. Right? Unpack the Holy Spirit from whatever box you've been trying to put him in. Because this season, he wants to do something new in your life. You have to allow him. You have to allow him to do something new in your life. You need to sing, "O ye barren woman, you who never bore a child, for great will be your children, for many will be your children in this season." Amen. You need to sing. You need to sing. And finally, the Holy Spirit came to reveal the light of the world. The Holy Spirit came to reveal the light of the world. In Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 35, the Bible tells us that the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and tells Mary, "Mary, you will have a son. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." The Holy Spirit, and Mary asks, "How will this happen?" And then Gabriel says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Now, Isaiah tells us about 700 years earlier. He says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, he says, a people or the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those on those in the land or on those living in the land of the deep, a great light has dawned. Whether you want to believe it or not, we are living in a dark world. We're living in a dark world where our minds have been shackled with sin. Our minds have been shackled with sin. You know, we have been chained with unbelief. Chained with unbelief. And we have literally, you know, and we have been, you know, blinded by our ignorance. Now, this type of darkness I'm talking about, it's not physical darkness. You know, it's spiritual darkness. It's spiritual. It's emotional. It's mental. A never-ending cycle. Year after year, a never-ending cycle. There to, you know, to completely steal our joy and our hope. But it's good news today. Because for a people that are living in darkness, a great light has shone. A great light has dawned for a people that are living in darkness. God the Father heard our cry. He heard our cry for help. And he sent his very best. Because unto us a child is born. And to us a son is given. And this son is here to give us light. To give light to anyone who wants to believe in his name. There was a man. there was a man that was exploring. Now, as this man was exploring, he decided to walk on top of a very, very long mountain. As he was walking up this mountain, he fell down the hole about several hundred feet. He fell down the hole in a big cavern, actually. He fell down the hole and found himself in this big cavern. For over a week, no food, no water, in total darkness. And every single day, he would cry out for help. Help me! Somebody help me! One day gone. Somebody help me! Somebody help me! Somebody help me! 2 days gone. Somebody help me! 3 days. Somebody help me! A week gone past. Somebody help me! Somebody help me! Somebody help me! Eventually, about over a week, somebody was walking past and they heard a faint sound. And they looked and they saw where he fell. Eventually, a rescue party came and rescued him out of this cavern, out of his cave. About the over a week, no food, no water. So they asked him, they said, what kept you going? You were there for over a week. What gave you hope? What kept you going? The man said, whilst I was in this cave, there was a little hole that brought through a little tiny ray of light. And I just kept focusing on that light. My focus was on that light. I just kept focusing on that light. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 9 to 13, that the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, children born not of a natural descent, not of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. But born of God. See, many of us are like that man in the cave, living in darkness, crying out for hope, searching for a way out. And crying out for hope, sometimes even inwardly crying out for hope. But it doesn't seem to be a hope. I'm here to tell us the good news this morning that this light that I'm telling, this light that we're referring to this morning, he wants to come to you where you are. This light has walked in our neighborhood, as the scripture says. This light, he has come. He wants to meet you at the point of your need. This light has a name. His name is Jesus. Mary's boy child. The Son of the Most High God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He has a name. And church, this is a testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I say these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. you have eternal life. You've heard me talk about Froggy before. Little Froggy. Little Froggy was captured and put in water in a hot pot. And hot pot was turned on. Now, this water was cold. Now, as the hot pot became warmer and warmer, this frog was able to adjust his body temperature so that he stays in that water. As the water went from warm to cool to hot, this frog was able to adjust his body temperature. Eventually, the water was at the boiling point, and the frog is like, okay, I can't handle the heat anymore, so let me jump out. As the frog tries to jump out, he realizes that he spent all his energy adjusting, and eventually, he couldn't jump out. And the end of this frog was death. Some of us decide to change when we see the light. But others try to change when they feel the heat. Which one are you? In this season, are you the one who will change because of the light of the Holy Spirit? Or will you be the one that will wait for the water to get hot and then try to jump out? This is an amazing season. The Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit cannot be boxed. He cannot be put in a box. The Holy Spirit wants to give us a new song in this tough year, in this tough season. The Holy Spirit has come to give us a new song. And the Holy Spirit is here to reveal to us the light of the world. Do we know the light of the world? He has a name. He's not a baby in a manger anymore. He's no longer a broken man on the cross. He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Do you know him? Do you know him? And Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the reason for the season. We thank you, God, that apart from you, we can do absolutely nothing. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word. Lord, may you give us the grace. Lord, as a matter of fact, we thank you for giving us the grace to respond to your word. Because, Lord, you do not call for an appointment and not show up, oh Lord. And Lord, our hearts are open before you today. Holy Spirit, our hearts are open. Begin to do a surgical procedure in our hearts. May we respond, my God, to the light of the world and not to the heat. God, we may live in a world, in a system or in a nation that employs us to follow the status quo, that tells us to simply pack or unpack our Christmas time decoration at a certain time without ever acknowledging or reflecting on who you are or what Christmas is about. And Lord, we thank you that this morning you have spoken to us. You have reminded us that Christmas is about the power of the Holy Spirit doing something new in our lives, breaking the silence that has been lasting for years and years and generation upon generation. Thank you, Lord, that the deliverance is here, that the deliverer is here, that you are here to give us a new song. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ashil, for this powerful message. And when you talk about the Holy Spirit, he shows up. You can't talk about the Holy Spirit and he doesn't show up to do what he's sent to do. So this morning, I just want to invite us, if you heard what he said and you sense that you need to open your life, before you even open the Christmas box, I think you need to open your life to Jesus Christ. Let him come in and dwell in your hearts. Let him come in and change your life. You can never be the same when he comes. You can never remain the same when the Holy Spirit takes over. And so, maybe before we close, Ropa will come and he will give you a number. A number will show on the screen to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. Also, to give you an opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, I want to start afresh with you. Will you fill me with your Holy Spirit? This season, I don't want to be just about gifts. I want to be about the gift of Christmas, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So before I call Robert to come, I want to pray for two things that Spirit of God wants to heal. I was blessed this last week because people did call and testify that God did heal them last week. Those two situations we prayed for. And this morning I want to pray specifically for the first situation is you are having a tightness on the chest. In fact, this is shocking because you are thinking maybe something more serious than you feel right now. But there's a tightness on the chest right here. It's a grip and you don't understand what it is. And this is for more than one person. You might be here in the hall or you might be listening online. I want to pray. The Holy Spirit wants to deal with that today. That's the first situation. Then there's the second situation of a pain on your side, specifically on the left. A sharp pain that is just coming. Again, today I think it's more than one person. And I want to pray for those two situations because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to take away that pain. Ashil read a scripture. If you could put it on the screen, Acts 10:38, which says, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. So we want to stand on God's word. I believe the Holy Spirit is revealing this because he wants to deal with it. Now let me tell you how this happens. When it's revealed, we pray through it. And how I know that God is going to heal is because the pain lifts. So that's why I'm raising these specific issues, because I know that God wants to deal with those two today. So I'm going to pray, if you could join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for revealing these two situations here. Thank you for the word that has been preached here, specifically pointing at the Holy Spirit being a part of the birth of Jesus Christ. And because you are here, Spirit of God, I pray that you may lift this grip on the chest of someone listening to this message right now. That healing may be released from Zion. And take care of this pain on the chest. May that pain go in Jesus' name. May that pain go in Jesus' name. We release the power of God to break that pain, to break the power of that pain in Jesus' name. For Jesus is our healer. I also thank you, Father, for the healing of the pain on the side that is going right now. Your pain, I command you, go. Loose that person and go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And so I release healing over that side. That pain may be no more. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your healing that is flowing from your throne. Your healing, whatever situation here, anyone listening to this voice, whatever situation of sickness, Father, we stand on your word, how Jesus went about doing good and healing the sick, destroying the power of the devil in the name of Jesus. So we release that power today. Let it be so. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. So if the Lord has healed you, please do get in touch. There'll be a number on the screen. We want to celebrate with you. This season, God is doing amazing things. So be a part of it. God bless you. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.